All right, guys, a successful trip across the pond, 45-7 over the Rams.
Just as I expected, like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, this is how the games are supposed to play out. Yes, you have some questions on defense. You might give up a big play here or there, but you'll blow them out on offense and squish them like you should. Finally, you got it.
Okay, so are you saying that the Rams just aren't a good team?
No, I knew if I kept predicting the same game that sooner or later it was going
to
happen.
No, I'm saying that's the Patriots' offense we expect, to smother other teams, even if they have a good defense, even if they have a decent offense and can score some points. Smother them, just suck the life out of them. It just took a while to get there.
Well, and, you know, in all honesty, this is also the game we thought would happen in Seattle.
Yes.
You know, because they're similar
Arizona.
Teams. Arizona. They're similar teams without very good offenses, but we thought decent defenses.
So they made us right, finally.
Right. So why did it happen this time and not before?
Well, I think offensively, they're a little bit better than, you know, some of these teams, even with good defenses. And I think this is what I think we all sort of expected to happen in those other games that you talked about. I think what they did this week, I thought they kind of got back to their roots a little bit and sort of opened the game aggressively, looking to pass the ball, get points on the board, and then going to the running game. I liked that philosophy. Now, maybe it was a game plan thing. Maybe it's just a one-week thing. I love the way they ran the ball. I thought they were very successful doing it, but I like the way the first half unfolded with 28 points almost all through the air with Tom Brady. I think that's the way this offense needs to operate.
Do you think it had anything to do with the Rams going right down there and beating the secondary for a long pass and Bill Belichick saying, uh-oh, we better start?
I think, no. I mean, the players say it, and we kind of roll execution, roll all right. Well, they executed. They scored on their first drive for just the second time all year. That helps when you get points on the board. And then the Rams look like they might be driving again. They forced a punt. Patriots score again. That's how this offense usually smothers people when it's at its best, and it did that again. I'm not sure this is going to happen every week. No. If they don't execute like that, then it probably won't. The other team will have more chances to get the ball down the field.
Well, one of the things we thought that in the beginning of the season might hinder execution was the offensive line because of injuries and because of inexperience. But I think as we get now into the bye week, we've seen an offensive line that has truly gotten better every game, especially in the outside with the two tackles.
Yeah, and that's been true even with some guys missing out of the lineup. But I think you're right, Fred. The tackles have been, I think, for at least the past month, they've been outstanding. Solder and Vollmer. We all had some concerns about them, and I'm guilty as charged. I had concerns. But the way they've seen some really good pass rushers seemingly week in and week out, and not just one, but both ends. This week it was Chris Long and Robert Quinn, and I thought that they really held up really, really strong. And they've been doing that all season long. And I think it gets more impressive when you start talking about, you know, Logan Mankins being in and out of the lineup. Dan Conley against the Jets wasn't able to play. And you have different guys going in there. Nick McDonald that day. Ryan Wendell in the middle has been really, really strong. He's a guy that I think we all sort of worried about when they let Dan Copen go. Can he be a full-time center? Well, so far the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, everybody on offense played well. Brandon Lloyd had two touchdown catches. And I think getting him involved early, I think, posed problems for the Rams. Stephen Ridley had another game where, you know, not early, but when the Patriots needed him to close that game out, man, he was just hitting it right up the middle and gaining big yards. You know, whereas we talked about last year, maybe with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, those are maybe 7, 8, 9 yard runs. He's getting to 15, 20 yard runs.
And so, the best thing for me, Freddie, out of all, and everything you just said was dead on. Everybody played well offensively.
Yeah.
But I've been sort of worried about the health status of the two tight ends. They didn't have Aaron Hernandez, but Rob Gronkowski was the Rob Gronkowski of old on Sunday. Now, I still think he's dealing with stuff. I don't think he's feeling great out there. Still taking a lot of hits, but you see him making the big plays. You see him getting in the end zone. This is 4 touchdowns now in the last 2 weeks, I want to say. So you look at those numbers. I want to make sure I'm right when I say it. I don't want to just fly off the seat of my pants like Freddie. I want to make sure that, you know, that continues because you look at the production now, and it just seems like there was so many differences from last year to this year. Well, it's basically the identical first half of the season that he had in 2011 when he was the best tight end.
In terms of numbers.
Yeah,
right.
And the best tight end in the history. But, I mean, in terms of targets are the same, completions are the same, touchdowns are the same. I think he actually has one more touchdown than he did this time last year. So seeing him sort of patrol that secondary and then the touchdown celebration, I'm sorry, is one of my all-time favorite Patriots moments.
Toy soldier one.
Unbelievable. No, Nutcracker guy who got the house.
Dude. Right.
A little Nutcracker dude, yes.
And we know
right.
that it was the best because Chad Ochocinco tweeted that it was the best. And
who knows?
He started that industry. Remember the old gold jacket? I mean, he was kind of the forebearer of those touchdown celebrations. He knows what he's seeing. But getting back to the numbers, I think that's what's amazing is it feels like it's been a tumultuous first half. But you have the same record you had last year. You have Tom Brady on another MVP-type season. You have Rob Gronkowski pretty much on pace for another all-pro, greatest-ever season. You've added a 700-yard running back to the mix that you didn't have last year. And if you look, like, the scoring per quarter, I mentioned to the postgame, they can't start, they can't finish. Well, they've scored between 62 and 67 points in every quarter. 62, 65, 65, 67. So they're consistent front to back, and yet we feel like we've been through so much to get to this bye.
I think it's those three losses by 4 points total. I think that kind of threw us off. Like, oh, they can't close. That whole talk, they don't have an identity.
And to the certain team.
Yeah, see, I think
if you had flipped it and said, okay, they beat the Seahawks, they beat the Cardinals, but then they lost to the Jets, even though the Jets aren't what they were.
Yeah, but then we'd be saying, oh, they can't beat
the... No, but we're always okay with a Jets loss. It's like we kind of pencil in a Jets loss. It's a great rivalry. They know each other so well. It's those NFC West losses that I think have sort of thrown people for a loop. And we know Paul thinks that's the worst division in football.
It's not just me. Just look at the facts. Look at the numbers.
All right, well, bye week, time to heal, do a little self-scouting, get ready for the second half.
And go 8-0 in the second half, like last year.
That's what gets us in trouble, things like that.
It was quite a first half for Stephen Ridley. We saw the running back do a little bit of everything for the Patriots, and this is exactly the kind of stuff that me and a lot of other Patriots fans certainly hope to see. It wasn't so much about the amount of carries that Ridley was going to get, but it was what he was going to do with them that was going to make this a big-time improvement over Ben Jarvis Green. Now, a Sunday in London was the perfect example. Only 15 carries, but 127 yards, many of the big play variety. These are the kinds of plays I think a Patriots running back was dying to make over the last several seasons, and Ben Jarvis Green simply couldn't. Instead of a 41-yard run or a 30-plus yard run the way Ridley had, Benny would get you 8 on the outside or maybe take it up the middle for 12, but he wasn't capable of the big play. What Ridley did in the first half is exactly what the Patriots running game needed. The Patriots secondary continues to look for candidates for playmakers, and on Sunday in London against the Rams, we saw another guy come forward. That was Marquise Cole. Unfortunately, he got banged up during the course of the game, but I liked what I saw of him in a reserve role. Cole is a guy who's mostly played special teams throughout his career, but all throughout training camp, I saw him display some tight coverage, and we saw that again against St. Louis in some of those underneath zones that gave the Patriots problems early in the game. I thought he came in and settled things down. Hopefully, he can be healthy enough over the second half of the season to continue in that role. On the flip side of that situation, Rasai Dowling is a guy that just can't seem to catch a break. He was injured throughout his college career, even into high school, but the Patriots still drafted him at the top of the second round last year, and so far, the guy just can't stay on the field. He was on IR as a rookie after a short amount of time, actually started the first game, wound up on IR, and now he's back there again this season. This is unfortunate. He has all the tools to be a successful cornerback. He's big, he has long arms, and we've seen him make some plays when he's had an opportunity to play. The problem is, we just haven't seen enough of it, and again, it's going to be another wasted year for Dowling.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
We're off to a decent start, but we have a lot of work that needs to be done, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week have an international flavor coming direct from Wembley Stadium. This first one is the UK Patriots, one of the best Patriots fan clubs in the world. I picked this next one because of the protection Tom Brady has. This is a shout out to the offensive line. Finally, I love this picture. Look at the big man fly.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Stephen, go back to before the London game. You get in on Friday, and all of a sudden Coach Belichick says, let's go over to the park across the street and do a walkthrough. Did you realize how historic that is, being maybe the first NFL team to practice there?
No, I really didn't, man. But I think everybody knows, you know, Coach Bill, the way that we do is he's going to find somewhere for us to get our work in, regardless if it's a park and making history or if it's here at the facility. But we're going to get our time in and do what we need to do so we can go out there and execute on the field.
So then you get to the game. How different was it playing in Wembley Stadium from just an atmosphere point of view than playing here in the States?
The stadium really was unique in itself, man. To play over there and have that opportunity to go over to London and see that field was a very different experience. Actually playing on that field, I mean, the field was a little bit slippery, but it was a nice field overall, and the stadium setup was really neat.
And how are you feeling so far? You know, this is the first time, you know, you've been the lead back. You're getting into the halfway point. Physically, how are you feeling? Mentally, how are you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling well. I'm looking forward to this bye week for sure. I think it's coming right at time. And for me, you know, just with the team and the direction we're going, you know, we're working hard. And like I said, I think everybody can use this rest that we're going to have this week. So we're going to try to take advantage of it, but we're going to have to get back to football, you know, pretty soon.
Final question. The bye week is usually a time for self-scouting. If there's one or two things personally you want to work on for the second half, what would they be?
Just to keep improving, man. We just have to come in here and be prepared that we're off to a decent start, but we have a lot of work that needs to be done, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So we can't look too far back, you know, because we have a lot of football left in front of us to play. So we're going to look back and change and fix what we can, but we just got to keep rolling and try to stay in the groove that we're rolling in right now.
With no opponent to break down this week, and from the heart, we'll look at the Patriots and what they can accomplish during the bye week. First and foremost, that's settle in the secondary. Pass defense is the biggest problem by far on this team through 8 games. Get Patrick Chung healthy. Get Steve Gregory healthy. Get your starting safeties back out there. That lets McCourty go back to corner, and that lets rookie Alfonso Dennard take the other cornerback spot. He has played well. Let's watch him develop. That lets Kyle Arrington and Tavon Wilson fill out depth roles, and as the secondary shortens its bench, you might get better performance out of the group as a whole. Offensively for Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels and company, it's simple. Get back to basics. We saw Rob Gronkowski with a breakout game in London. It looks like the Patriots offense is at its best when Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez are the core of the passing attack, which is the core of the offense. Everybody else can fill in. Brandon Lloyd can get his complimentary touchdowns. Stephen Ridley can run out the clock on games. But don't get too creative. Don't have too many tight ends on the field. Don't have too many running backs on the field. It starts with Gronk, Welker, and Hernandez, and grows from there. And finally, during the bye, focus on what will be the key to the second half of the season, and that's turnovers on both sides of the football. Tom Brady has yet to have a bad game in terms of interceptions. Keep that going. Just 3 for the year. 6 overall would be perfect. Defensively, force the turnovers. The Patriots are among the best teams in football right now, forcing those turnovers. That needs to keep going in the second half for this team to be where it wants to be, and that's atop the standings in terms of turnover ratio for the entire season.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
5-3.
Don't even
check the math. Check the math.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Look out for the Miami Dolphins. That's right, the same Miami Dolphins we watched at Hard Knocks before the season started. Remember them? Remember we watched their head coach, Joe Philbin, kind of hem and haw his way, getting rid of Chad Johnson? We watched them try to figure out who the starting quarterback is. Well, Philbin did get rid of Johnson. I think the players noticed that. And they have their starting quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. But most of all, watch out for their defense. They're only giving up 18 points a game. That's one of the best numbers in the league. And Cameron Wake has 7.5 sacks through 7 games. They're a team to be reckoned with. Not on par with the Patriots yet, but they're nipping at their heels.
Well, don't look now, but it looks like Peyton Manning is back, and he just might be better than ever. 17 touchdowns, just 4 picks halfway through the season, and the Broncos are a legitimate threat in the AFC West. It looks like they're going to join the Patriots and probably Houston and Baltimore and be a part of this AFC playoff picture. We're used to the Patriots and Broncos playing. They hooked up last year, but this is going to be a flashback because it's going to be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning perhaps getting together in the postseason the way they did in days gone by. And right now, Manning is a big reason for that. He looks better than ever, and the Broncos are a force to be reckoned with.
I think I'm the only person on the planet not excited about what Michael Vick's doing in Philadelphia. What's he ever won?
He's the exciting new gimmick. He reminds me of the guy. He just got divorced. He's got the buxom blonde. He's having fun for a couple weeks. That never ends well, and neither will this in Philadelphia. And in the end, it might cost Andy Reid his job. Well, well, well. 2 years later, and Andy was right. Andy Hart, that is, not Andy Reid. He was wrong, and it's going to cost him his job in Philadelphia. Michael Vick is not a franchise quarterback. Never was. He's not a great player on the field. He turns the ball over too much. He's not a great leader off the field. Andy Reid, you hitched your wagon to the wrong guy, and it's going to tow you right out of town.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
We have half a season in the books. Other than Tom Brady, who was the Patriots' first half MVP?
I got to go with the simple formula. Patriots have 5 wins, right? In those 5 games, they've rushed for 100 yards. The leader of the running game is Stephen Ridley with 700 yards. Sophomore season, 150 carries. Brought some to this offense it didn't have a year ago. And when they're successful, he's successful. Vice versa.
So just the leader at a statistical category, that's the answer. Okay, well, I'm going to go Wes Welker.
Brady has thrown the ball a lot, and they've lost. They've never run the ball a lot with Ridley and lost. Thank you.
What does that have to do with anything? Listen,
valuable players help you win.
This offense was struggling early in the season. Second week of the season, they score 18 points against the Arizona Cardinals. First week of the season, they scored 23, I want to say, somewhere in that neighborhood before the defensive touchdown. Why? Because Wes Welker was a bit player. They decided to say, you know what, this is dumb. This is what we do best. Wes Welker is the focal point of our offense. Let's let Tom Brady throw in the ball. And, oh, by the way, you now score 45 points.
And where were they in week one when Welker wasn't playing? They won, right?
Yeah, they won the game.
How come they won?
How come they won?
Yeah, because Ridley ran the ball.
Because the defense put
points on the
board.
No, because Ridley ran
the
ball. That's why they won that
game. That was a big part of the reason.
They had a great running day. They have added an element to this offense that is going to make them a better team in the long haul, and that is their second-year running back. And because of that, everybody thought he was going to struggle. Everybody thought he was going to be a fumble issue. He's also gotten by that. And that's hard to do. For a guy, everybody's fixating on one problem, and you have a hiccup there. That's hard to get past that. He got past it, continues to rush for 100 yards, getting the job done.
But they've also continued to win games when they haven't rushed for that many yards. And Ridley hasn't been a huge part
of the
offense.
Actually, they haven't.
Yeah, they beat the Jets with Ridley being a bit player.
But they rushed for 100 yards that day.
But he didn't do it. You're calling him the MVP.
I am.
If he's the MVP, he needs to be the guy that does it.
Who leads the running game?
Listen, I don't want to turn this into a negative on Stephen Ridley.
Well, I don't see how you could. He's got 700 yards rushing.
He's had a terrific first half of the
season. Notice I haven't taken any shots at Welker.
They'd be 5-3 with or without him. I don't think they'd be 5-3 without Welker.
And the coaches agree with me, by the way. Because thought Welker was a backup to start the year.
And you thought that was a terrible idea. So don't change your tune now
just because you're in point. Yeah, but cheap shots in fights work.
Well, I just want to make sure we state it for the record. And by the way, let's get it out there right off the go. Again, I want to reiterate, this does not include Tom Brady.
Correct.
It's the PFW disclaimer down the bottom of the
insurance
policy. It
would be a short argument if it was including Brady.
Listen, this is all about Welker to me. I know that every year we sit there and we try to say what this offense can do and Julian Edelman can do what he does and Aaron Hernandez is going to be. Until someone can come in here and do what Welker does, I'm not going to assume that somebody can do that. Stephen Ridley can't do it. He can't be the focal point of the offense. That's all about, to me, Brady and Welker.
I'll tell you one thing. I have Bill Belichick on my side. He once said, if you have a back worthy of 300 carries, you play him. Correct? He found his back who's worthy of 300 carries. He has 150 at the break. He found his next Corey Dillon. His name is Stephen Ridley. He is the dominant MVP of the first half of the season. And the reason this team will go deeper in the playoffs than it did a year ago. What am I predicting?
You sit here and tell me right now that this offense revolves around Stephen Ridley in the running game.
No, the success of this team revolves around Stephen Ridley. It's proven. 5-3.
Don't even
check
believe
the math.
Your
check
own
the math.
Crap. There's no way you can honestly believe that. This is a passing team. It starts with Brady. I can't pick him.
Right.
I'm picking the second best.
So you don't pick the second
I'm
best guy.
I'm picking the second
the
best element.
And by the way,
the
that's
offense.
Rob Gronkowski.
So you take the third best guy. I'm sorry.
So you want the fourth
Welker,
best guy in the passing
Welker
game.
Welker had a better first
the
half.
The passing game is Brady.
Welker had
the
a
running
better
game
first
is
half
Ridley.
Than Gronkowski. Don't be foolish. Welker's the guy.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
Okay, time for the show to answer your questions that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. But first, the lighthearted part of the show where we talk about the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Where do you get this one?
Thank you, Fred. We are going to have a little fun this week because the Patriots, very dominant win, and yet they fell two spots in the Wilson Hart Power Index. Maybe that says something about the Rams. Maybe that says something about other teams passing them up. But they did fall from number 7 to number 9 this week. Number 1 remains the Falcons. They actually distanced themselves from the Texans in the 2 spot. The Broncos had a big jump. They're part of the reason the Patriots fell. Moved up 6 spots to number 5. The Rams, because they lost, dropped 12 spots. And down in the basement, Scott Pioli's Kansas City Chiefs.
Didn't the Patriots beat the Broncos?
The numbers never lie. The numbers never lie. Just go with the numbers.
Stan writes in, the demise of the AFC is greatly exaggerated with Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, and even Andrew Luck. Is the media making too much calling the AFC a mess?
Well, I mean, I think the NFC is better right now than the AFC. I mean, does that make the AFC a mess? I don't think so. I think there are more teams, probably more complete teams, I think the Giants, the Bears, the Packers, the 49ers, I think there are more title contenders in the NFC, but that doesn't mean the best team in the AFC won't be better than the best team in the NFC. We'll find out. There's 8 more weeks to go. As far as quarterbacks go, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFC, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, and if you want to throw Andrew Luck in there, Robert Griffin III has played pretty well, too.
Okay, good answer, Paul.
Thanks, Fred.
Joe writes in, are the Patriots running the ball too often? Would the fourth quarter leads be significantly larger if the Patriots went back to more of a quick strike offense to generate a bigger lead come, say, the midpoint of the fourth quarter?
It certainly looked that way in London. They ran to sort of set up. I mean, they ran after they'd already gained a lead, and I think a lot of people around here like to see that. That's sort of what we're used to the last few years. Gronkowski was kind of the centerpiece of the offense. You got the lead, and then Ridley took over, and that helped him, by the way, too, because he was able to get 8.5 yards of carries. I think it was only 14, 15 carries. But that said, I am still a believer of you want to keep this balance going. And we talked about it this week on the radio show. If I had told you this summer that midway through the season, you would have Stephen Ridley at 150 carries for over 700 yards, one of the greatest seasons he's on pace for in Patriots history, you'd be ecstatic. Yet some people are still questioning, when should we run the ball? Is the running game good enough to balance out the offense? So I think there's still sort of an identity to be found in the second half, but I still want to see the balance.
All right, Andy, send your questions to AskPFW at Patriots.com, and we'll answer them right here on the show.